Welcome to Ron and Nick's Best Friend Podcast, where we talk about finding the friend who helps us live in freedom, truth, and love.
That's the truth.
Do you know what the secret of life is?
No, what?
This.
Your finger?
One thing. Just one thing.
That's great, but what's the one thing?
That's what you gotta figure out.
Welcome to Ron and Nick's Best Friend Podcast, a podcast that, what?
You can't live without.
Absolutely.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a lot of things, but I wanted to.
No, what are you doing right now? We start the podcast that way. There has to be a reason.
We used to start the podcast with music all the time.
Yeah, and we stopped doing it because of copyright issues, I think, but I can't remember. We get kicked off of Facebook.
All right, it's okay.
Yeah.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is our third episode on depression. We've done one, we've done two, and this is going to be the third one. Mm. And first of all, let me ask you, how do you think it's been going so far?
I think they're very good podcasts. I wish more people would, I hope more people hear them. I think they're very, very helpful. I don't know what to say. I really think it's good stuff.
You told me last week that you were listening to it and you cried.
Yeah, a little bit.
What was hitting you? Mm. Memories of what it was like, or what you were hearing, how the Holy Spirit worked in your life, or
I think some of the things that just there was revelation of how God cared for me in the midst of things and. I don't know. I don't remember specifically. I just remember it was like, and the descriptions of how it felt. I actually had a guy tell me this week. A guy texted me and said that I had described exactly the way that he felt. You know, and specifically about isolating but wanting not to be alone. But wanting to be alone, and that's it's a hard thing to describe. But he appreciated it, and that really made me happy that I could help put words to things because no one really does understand.
Mm.
Yeah. Talked to another guy this week who said, and it was a young kid actually, he's a young kid, and I told him, I said, you know when people tell you that they know what's going on, that they don't know what's going on. He said, yeah. He said, that's why I trust you. He said, when you talk about it, I know that you know. And I said, yeah, the way you know that is by looking in my eyes, right? And he said, yeah. He said, when I look in your eyes, I know that you know. And that's how I know what's going on inside of him. I don't really even know how to explain that to people. I hope that you don't know, as we said last week. I do not want anybody that I love. I don't even want anybody that I hate to feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. You say you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. This is one of those things that you actually believe that. Like, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. But when someone has been through it, and you look in their eyes, you go, "Yes, I know that you know." So anyway,
I am very excited about sharing. This with some people. I told you last week I was listening to it, and I actually listened to it, believe it or not, three times. Why did I do that? Because I was just hearing the flow of what you were saying and what I was asking you, and it was just so true. But I told you this in a text, or maybe I called you. I don't know what I said. It was a text. And I said, man, I'm feeling a crescendo of, okay, you've done two podcasts now on this depression. It was like coming to a crescendo, like, okay, tell me, okay, now finish it. Tell me what's going on, or tell me how you were cleared from treatment-resistant depression. And that's what we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about what happened to you. I'm going to start it with this. Yeah, towards the end of the podcast, the second one, you brought up, you were doing a seminar for a marriage seminar, and you took a side here, you know, during the seminar, and you wrote like 10 things down on what a marriage should look like.
Just helpful tips.
Yeah, helpful tips and all that. And you wrote 10 things, what 40 years of marriage has taught you. Mm. And so you went up to the audience, and they were a great audience, great people that came there. They were listening to you. They were attentive. They were getting a lot of things. It was a two-day conference. And so you did this little side thing, wrote 10 things, and you... And this was the funny part. You said, it's not funny. It's just natural, really. You said, and when you said the 10 things, we said, okay, I'm going to give you 10 things that what a marriage should look like and advice. Everyone took out a piece of paper and pencil, and they wanted to write it down. And I said to you, what are you saying? It ain't the 10 things? It ain't 10 things that got you there? And what do you remember what you said?
I think I said that the 10 things don't matter if the one thing is not, and you don't get the one thing right, which would, the entire conference had been about one thing.
Yeah.
And that these 10 things are worthless if you don't get the one thing.
And that's why I started with the City Slickers. It's one thing, in the Secret of Life, he said, but it's just one thing. So I'm not going to go to the one thing. Let's just talk about the process now, because you did say this to me 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was not, and it was kind of, it wasn't shocking. It was a little defeating, actually, if I was to listen to, if I had depression and you were to tell me that, it seems a little like, oh, crap, really? There's not a pill or there's not one word you can give me? But you said, hey, listen, this was not automatic.
Mm.
This healing wasn't, I can't walk, and Jesus comes to me and says, walk, and I walk. It was a process, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand what you were talking about and the process of why it took so long, and does it always have to take so long, or, and this is your experience here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but let me also say this. Does your experience also mean that everyone else can have a different walk, or
I think I used to be more careful. Maybe I still am to a certain extent when I tell people about 13 years of treatment resistant depression, because it's terrifying. If you say that to somebody who is just on the edges of this, and they start and they feel it and know it for the first time, and you say, yeah, I had 13 years of treatment-resistant depression, you can see it go through their, go through their whole body, like a shiver, like, I can't do this.
Right.
On the other hand, I remember feeling that way about it myself, like, how can I keep going? How could it possibly be, go on and on? I know people who have been in longer depressions than me, There's all kinds of experiences with this, and all kinds of different ways of healing. I don't want to call it ways of healing, but different ways that people have talked to me about how they have recovered or are recovering. The more that I talk to people, the more I find out that maybe one of the reasons why there isn't a go find this on the web is because there's not one way that seems to work for everybody. That is not a pill. It's not. It's much more like a process. And how do you write down a process? It's much harder to capture a process. That's why the 10 things are so much. Okay, give me the 10 things. They're like a bullet.
Right.
Just give me the thing. So I think there's a lot of different experiences that people have. I only have one, but I do think that the core of it is what I said at the end of the last podcast. This is about a person, not a plan. And that coming out of depression was a matter of a relationship with a person. And so how do you get into a relationship with a person? You don't get into a relationship with a person by snapping your fingers and you go, okay. I mean, you can come into a defined relationship with a person in an instant, at our wedding ceremony. Okay, well, now, right, 2 seconds ago, you weren't my spouse, and now you are. Okay, that's a legal thing, and now it's like, now that's redefined the relationship. But everyone, no one's stupid enough to think that that makes you married. I mean, marriage is something that's going to take the rest of your life. Mm. You know, marriage is isn't a moment. It's a lifetime. Mm. And so while I think I received a different relationship in a moment, I've continued to walk out that relationship over the last 5-6 years of living differently and living in this relationship with the person who walked me out of depression.
Now, you're talking about in the last 5 years.
Six years.
It's a different relationship. Did you know this person?
Yeah, I mean, this is the Holy Spirit. I mean, like, we'll cut to the chase. This is a Holy Spirit podcast. I don't want to cut and, you know, feel like I don't want people to run away from the Holy Spirit. Of course I don't. But I think people think that you're kind of trying to play a Jedi mind trick on them or bait and switch. I'm really not. I knew the Holy Spirit.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I knew him. I knew him, but I didn't know him like I know him now. I didn't know that he could do what he did for me. That's why I say this is available to anybody, because Holy Spirit isn't particular about it. He's very open about being in a relationship with anybody. And he's very willing to talk to you if you're willing to talk to him and invite him. But he can radically redefine your life, you know, in an instant. So that's what I'm talking about, is you know, coming into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think something else I said at the end of the last podcast was curing the way that you feel emotionally is not the point. And that's one of the main problems, is people are trying to cure depression, cure depression, cure depression. That's why there's so many pills. There's so many treatments, therapies, all these things. You're aiming at the wrong thing. It was like Billy Crystal, you know, what's the one thing? Well, the one thing isn't getting over depression. I mean, so what? So what? So you don't feel bad emotionally anymore. I know that people who feel this bad are like, just, what do you mean, so what? I mean, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Right. I understand. That's part of what's in the way. That's part of what was in my way. The further I got in, the more I'm like, I'm a drowning man. Don't talk to me about, you know, the clothes I'm wearing. I don't want to talk about the clothes I'm wearing. I want to talk about life preservers. You know, I just don't want to sink. And I get that. I get that. But it's a counterintuitive thing. It's like that story I tell about the Outer Banks and almost drowning all the time. You know, it's like you think that the way back to the beach is straight. I'm going to turn around, I'm going to swim back to the beach, and that'll, you know, that's it. But if you keep doing that, you drown. That's how people drown in riptides. It's like, nope, there's only one way back. Whereas the opposite is true. You turn your back to the beach, you go at a diagonal, and you'll come out the side. And then you can go back to the beach. But it's terrifying while you're in it. If you've never been in a riptide, you don't know what that feels like, because it's like you just go, it's taking me to sea. And all you look out is in the vast ocean, and you go, there's nothing out there but death. So you turn around and you head back to the shore as hard as you can. You swim hard, hard, hard. You wear yourself out against the current. You drown. You just go under.
And that's what you did for years.
Oh, I stroked 13 years, man. 13 years, I just was like, okay, nope, I'm going back to the beach. You know, here's the next thing.
Okay, so that's what was going on. What's the next thing? What's the next thing?
Next thing, you know, okay, here's a diet. Here's vitamins. I had a drawer full of, man, I had this day where I took all of my supplements, poured them into this big tub and dumped them down the toilet. You wouldn't believe how much stuff it was. Like, okay, you got a vitamin A deficiency. Okay, that's what causes depression. You got a vitamin B, D, C, whatever. Dude, I had a drawer full of these things. And then when I would take them, I wouldn't just take one. You know, like, okay, well, if one's good, 15 have got to be good. You know, it's like I would overdose myself on vitamin A, you know, trying to.
Okay, so what happened?
Nothing. I mean, as far as, like, feeling better?
Yeah. Well,
nothing. I mean, nothing moved it. You know, after those couple of things that the psychotropic medicines that worked, I don't feel like naming them because it doesn't matter, but a couple of them did put a dent in it and move the dial. And But what went immediately along with feeling better when you did that was, now, okay, well, am I really better? Do I feel better? If I stopped taking this, would I still feel better? Am I me? Because now all I do is take a drug to feel like me. But is it me? Is it the drug? It's very weird, because as soon as something works, you're like terrified that it'll stop working. And also, you're terrified that you might run out. Like, now you got to think about supply chain problems. Like, I better never run out, because this is the thing that makes me me. It's stupid. It's scary too. It's like, I talk to people, a lot of people that do this, and they all feel the same way.
Mm.
You know, got to make sure that you don't run out. But at the same time, you kind of hate it. Like, am I really me, or am I this drug? It's crazy.
All right. So what happened?
Well, I was thinking about it. I guess I knew we were going to get up to this. And I'm like, okay, well, how can I tell the parts that matter, that I think matter to everybody? And
for the process.
Yeah, yeah. Because here's what I believe. I believe that the Holy Spirit could say to you in an instant the thing that breaks the power of the darkness so completely that you don't walk out of darkness, that you're out. Like, you just, the sun comes up and you feel completely better and you're completely healed in an instant. Okay, that's a miracle, right? That's what you're talking about. Okay, rise, Tabitha, you know, get up, little girl. Tabitha Kum, get up. And walk, and you were dead and now you're alive. I believe that happens. I believe that happens to some people in deep distress like this. And it's a miracle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know me basically my entire adult life. Are you sitting next to a miracle or not?
Yes.
Okay. Because why? I was dead. I was for all intents and purposes emotionally dead and not present in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when the Holy Spirit says to me, rise, you know, which I've said many times, all he said was, I have it. Like, I heard him say it, I have it. You know, the whole story is like, I was in a church service, don't have to be in a church service. I was there was an invitation. It was like, I remember specifically, because I hate telling this story because it sounds so cliche, but at the end of the worship service, and this long set of circumstances, this guy talks about distractions. I had been having a talk with the Holy Spirit. He had said, like, what is depression? He asked me. I was out on a long, long walk. And he asked me, like, what is depression? And I'm like, it's a distraction. I hadn't used that word before, but I'm like, this is a distraction. I love my wife. I love my kids. My job's okay. You know, I like where I live. I all of this is so good. I cannot. I'm so distracted. I cannot enjoy my life. That word was the particular word. I remember that day what he said back to me was, you can't get over a distraction with a distraction. I'm like, okay, well, thanks for that. I mean, Holy Spirit always says something like that. You go, okay, you're going to help me understand that? And there were things that I was doing back then. Like, I used to play this game called Falling Balls, you know, on my phone, and I would just do it hours and hours and hours at a time. Or I would scroll through things, you know, and just keeping my mind distracted, trying not to think about how bad I felt. Anyway, that particular Sunday, I go to a church meeting. The guy who ends the service said, used this very exact term. He said, I believe there are some people here who are very distracted by some things that are going on in their life. And I'm like, you just kind of go, well, whoop-de-doo. You know, that I'm like that. I'm like,
right.
I didn't immediately go, oh my God, you know, you're talking to me. I was, well, like,
there's always someone distracted. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I believe
someone's hurting.
Yeah.
Today.
Someone out there I see, you know, and I was like, I don't, don't give me that stuff.
Right.
But the word landed on me.
Whoa.
It landed on me.
It landed on you.
Yeah. I was trying to push it off. I was like, actually, I was very mad, to tell you the truth. Because 13 years down the rabbit hole, and I've been talking to God this whole time, like, take care of this, take care of this, take care of this, take care of this. And I feel very not happy. And
angry?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes. Pissed.
Yeah.
Yes, very angry. And so I have this wrestling match with the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, like, I want you to go forward. I'm like, I'm not going forward. Oh, I don't believe in going forward. I've been a preacher most of my adult life, and I don't give invitations because I think they're so hokey. And I don't, you know, I'm not, this is not 50 years ago, and we're not going to sing 17 verses of Just As I Am, for those of you who remember stuff like this, until somebody finally responds to God. I'm like, I'm not doing it, because I was not happy. And I'm having this wrestling match, and finally I go, I actually went out and around to get to the side of the stage because I did not want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to talk to their ministry teams or their prayer people, or I didn't want to talk to any of them. I was just basically going forward in self-defense to get the Holy Spirit to shut up and leave me alone because I didn't believe he was going to do anything. I at this point, I had lost hope that anything would be different. So I went around to the side. I found myself on the, it's not even an altar, just a step up onto, two steps onto the stage, a little carpeted steps. And I put my hands on the step in front of me. I'm so pissed that I'm doing this, and I feel so stupid that I'm doing this. I put my hands on the step in front of me, and I said, here it is. And this is God as my witness. I was not going to say out loud what it was, because you know what it is. If you don't know what it is, you can't help me, is the way I'm thinking about him. And you're making me do this. And I've been so disappointed so many times, and it's failed so many times, and I've been so down so many times. I put my hands in front of me on the steps, and it was almost like immediately I heard him say, I have it. I don't know what to say to people out there who are like struggling like I am. And I've talked to many people over the years since then and explained this to them. It is not the words. It is that's not in the Bible anywhere. It's like, I have it is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's the entire Bible. It's not in first and second hesitations. You know, it is not written down, but the entire Bible is, I have it, I am. And the difference between reading it and him saying it is immense. It's life and death, actually. It's life and death. Jesus says, you guys study the scriptures because you think in them you have life, yet you refuse to come to me. It's him. And when he said it, I knew it was him, and I knew it was true, and all I did was believe it. I believed it. And from that moment on to this day, it happened last week, and it happened several times, you know, over weeks, is like I wake up, I have a little bit of a feeling of something or something's going on, and I say, tell me again.
Oh, my goodness.
And he'll say, I have it. See, here's what's really, really interesting, and I'm sorry I'm going on and on, but I can't help but say these things. I thought he was talking about, and this will make me cry. I thought he was talking about the depression, but what he was really saying is, I have it all. I have everything. I have your life. I have your future, your past, your present. I have it all. I have it was a declaration that you belong to me and I'm going to take care of you. And look, I said, I'm already a Christian. It's not like I'm not a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but the thing that he said to me was so comprehensive and so different in quality that I believed it the same way I think I believed it when Tina, you know, stood at an altar and said, you know, will you have me? Yeah, I'll have you. Will you have me? Yeah, I'll have you. It was falling into the arms of someone who loved me and believing that what they said was true. And the other thing is kind of funny what he said at the moment. Like he says, I have it. And the other thing he said was, you can eat anything you want now. He said two other things. He said, I have it. And kind of as a footnote, oh, by the way, you can eat whatever you want. And
that's the Holy Spirit right there.
and you can take your medicine or not. That's up to you. That's what he said. I was on a very heavy dose of Ritalin at the time, like really, really high dose of Ritalin, because nothing else was And even that wasn't doing much. You know, it wasn't very touching, the depression, which is a weird thing. A psychostimulant for depression. I don't know. Again, I had tried everything. And this at this point, I'm up on a very high dose of Ritalin. And he says, eat whatever you want. And if you want to keep taking the meds, you can, but you don't have to. And I'm like, okay. And I got up from there and walked back to where I was sitting. And I just knew. I knew that something had changed. I had been on an all meat diet for 8 straight weeks. I had not eaten anything but meat because someone said that'll help depression. And it had really not made much difference, and it caused a lot of problems. I had gone through the holidays like that. You can imagine, it's so weird, you know, to be around somebody. It's like, oh, I can't eat anymore, whatever. And so I went out to lunch that day, and I just had a normal lunch, you know. And it was like, well, and I never took another psychotropic med again. I haven't to this day. That's 6 years ago. A footnote to this, to the footnote is, I'm not telling anybody what to do. I don't really even think that's a good idea. Coming off of psychotropic meds, cold turkey is something that can do a lot of harm. So I'm not advocating that. All I'm doing is telling the story about what happened. It doesn't have to be normative for anybody. It's just what I did. And I don't feel any kind of way about it. Like he said to me, you can do this if you want. You don't have to. I didn't want to, so I didn't. And that began, a long, miraculous walk out of the darkness. Because, and here's the thing, and maybe this runs to another episode, you know, what downstream recovery looks like, is I had the worst day of my life after that day. The worst day that I've ever lived was after that day.
I didn't know that at all.
It was the single worst day that I ever lived. And I just like I told you, I can take you to the spot where my antidepressants stopped working. I can take you to the spot where I wrestled, to the death is what it felt like. It was just the worst. It was the worst. It was worse than any day of depression I had ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And, which is, that's a hard day to talk about. But I remember at the end of that day, I said out loud to Satan, I said, you should have killed me. You should have killed me when you had the chance. Because now I know. Now I know that what I know, you've given me the worst that you could give me, and it can't hurt me because here I am. And I believe that. He made a big mistake. If he could have killed me, and see, I guess he couldn't. I guess it was like Job, you know, you can put your hands on everything else, but he couldn't have me. And I'm not scared. I mean, I get scared, but I'm, you know, not down in my core, I'm not scared anymore. I'm not scared of anything anymore. It's changed everything.
I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe it's very hard to describe because it's a hard question to answer. But so the Holy Spirit tells you, I have it. Mm. What happens for it to sink in? And this is impossible probably to explain. What happens in your heart, in your being, in your mind, to hear something and go, I'm going to, you know, die on that, what you just said? What can you describe that? Because I'm sure the Holy Spirit spoke to you throughout these years. What was it? Those words. Is it just you? Just know when you know, when you trust and you have faith. What do you think it is? I'm talking for those people that never experienced. I mean, like, listen, you know, I'm not going to talk about my story of my life, but there were times when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I know it for a fact that this is what I'm supposed to do, and it's a conviction. I go, okay, I'm going to die on this cross here. I know what you want me to do. Impossible to explain that, right? You just have to go through it.
I've tried to come up with a way to describe it, but the word that comes to my mind is authority. There are people who have said things to you in your life, and you've kind of, hey, that's nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Someone who comes and says something to you, and you go, that's nice. Yeah. Very nice. I don't know if this works. I don't. It probably doesn't work. But
no, that makes sense.
I go to you and I look at your restaurant. You're a very successful guy at what you do, and you've done really, really well. I don't know that there are too many people who, when you're in a crisis in your restaurant, even to this day, like who's going to come and say something to you that goes bang, that lands on you with such authority and weight that you just don't argue with it. You just go, okay. You know, say the guy, I don't know who the guy is, Bar Rescue. I know you used to watch him, and you know, he seems to be a pretty sharp guy. And you are in a crisis, and he comes in and he says, and he looks at you and he goes, this is it. You know, or he says to you, everything that you're doing is going to work. Don't quit, you know, or something like that. And just lands in your heart, and you just like, there's such confidence because he's speaking from such a place of authority. There, in your life, in our lives, in the greater scheme of things, there's only one that has that kind of authority. No one could say that to me. There are plenty of people try to. That's why I talked about safe and unsafe people. It's like the people who are trying to say it to me from their own, like wherever they were, they don't say it from that place. They don't say it from that place. When the Holy Spirit said to me, I have it, I just believed him. It was something about the weight of it that fell on me. And like, oh, I know you're telling the truth. I know that you mean it. All I did from there on out was hold on to that one word. I mean, that's it. I didn't do anything else. All I did was believe it. I went and ate lunch that day.
Yeah.
This is a big deal, actually. As I started to, like, you know, you asked me last week, did you tell about this? Or you tell... Did you tell that things stopped working? On this side of it, it was really scary to tell Tina, like,
Oh, yeah.
This happened. Like, this happened. I felt the pressure inside, like, I got to say this because this is part of taking ownership over it, holding on to it is going to be like, I have to say it.
Why?
Because it's so hard to hold on to it by yourself. It's too wonderful. It's like you're too apt to be fooled and go, no, that was just me. I started talking to people and saying, no, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. And the work of the community of God is to help you hold on to the things that God says to you. That's why we together read the Bible and we hold on to the things that he said about who we are in Christ. And it's very hard to hold on to anything that God says by yourself. I mean, community is made for this. I tell you, you tell me, what's your name? What's your name? You hold on to it. And then you start to, I don't know, it increases faith, I think. It increases the belief to say, listen, after everything I'd been through and all the people that I had talked to about, you know, and had seen me suffering, it was an act of faith to say to people, the Holy Spirit said he has it and I believe him. Can't you feel how scary that is? Maybe you can't, but I felt how scary it was because I was scared because then all of a sudden people are going to go, oh, well, you're not depressed anymore. Well, okay, well, 100%, let's go. Back to, you know, you were running at 25 miles an hour, let's go 100. And it was scary to say that to people because I was so used to not being present in my life that now I was afraid if I say that I'm okay, I don't know, is it going to hold up? You know, can I push off on that? You know, when you twist your ankle and can I put weight on it? Can I lean on it? Can I run? Can I jump? It's telling people that I was better was telling them to help me hold on to it, but it was also like, okay, let me get in the game with you and try this. It was an act of faith. And, you know, to this day, the more I repeat it, the more I believe it, and the more I own it. And it was hard to own it first, I got to admit. Because like I said, there were still some real dark days. I think it took a whole year
Oh, that's interesting. All right, talk about that.
2019 was like a very interesting year. What's funny is by the time we get to 2020 and the whole world's falling apart, I'm coming together. It's like 2020 is the best year of my life. It's the worst year of a lot of people's lives. But for me, it was like, oh, this is great. I got my life back. I got more than my life back. I'm different. I'm a different person. It was coming out of that darkness was hit and miss for most of 2019. It was some, like I said, some really bad days. But in general, the trend was up and out into the light. And
Let's end it like this here on this subject. The name of the podcast is Ronnie Nick's Best Friend Podcast. Mm, yeah. Okay, and we speak a lot about the Holy Spirit. And you know, everyone has their if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, there's different beliefs or thoughts about what the Holy Spirit is and what he does and all that. I just want to just reiterate what we believe with who the Holy Spirit is and how he came to us and what the job he has. I want people to know that they have someone to talk to that lives inside of them. Can you just kind of reiterate that? Because you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people are going to...
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people don't believe, and that's the whole problem. You don't believe... I don't know that I believed that the Holy Spirit could speak in that kind of way. I knew he wrote the Bible. I knew about the gifts that he gave, but I didn't know that he could be that personal, that he could... Because he didn't just say, I have it, and then leave me. He kept saying it. I have it. And I'm like, this is where my conversation and relationship with the Holy Spirit really became something of substance. Whereas before I would kind of say, hey, I know that you're here. I know that you're in me. Right. I know that I'm filled somehow or whatever.
Right.
But I don't really have an ongoing relationship where I can talk to you. Like but when he talked to me, this became my life. It's like my whole life became that one phrase.
Were you addressing him as Holy Spirit?
Back then, probably not.
Okay.
I probably would have said Jesus or, you know, God. And this is some, you know, this is where my relationship with Holy Spirit started to become something like, oh, no, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you a helper, counselor, comforter. His name is going to be Holy Spirit. You know, he's going to do all these really cool things. John 15, 16, 17 is where all this is going on.
And better that I leave.
Yeah,
and so you may do greater things.
Yeah. He says, I'm leaving. So this will be better for you because I'm going to send this guy. I'm like, oh, well, I never really talked to that guy. I mean, I know that he exists, but I mean, I never prayed to the Holy Spirit. I never acted like I could talk to him. And this began a conversation with the Holy Spirit that goes on to this day. It's like I talk to the Holy Spirit pretty much all day, every day, and listen and believe that, you know, when he talks to you this comprehensively, that can break something so heavy in your life, you start to believe he can do anything. Like, you got problems with your money? Well, okay, let's talk to the Holy Spirit about it. You got problems with your marriage? Let's talk to the Holy Spirit about it. You know, you're afraid? Okay, well, I know about that. Let's ask the Holy Spirit about it. There's this confidence that has grown that he has something to say about everything. Of course, Jesus said that. I'm going to leave you a helper. I need help. I'm going to leave you a counselor. I need counseling. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I need comfort. And there he is. And he was always there, but I had never accessed this relationship with him that I began. Again, I says, it's not about a plan. It's about a person and a relationship with him.
Last thing, which is an amazing statement. You've told me that where you are now, with your relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, you would never erase the 13 years that you had.
No. No, I couldn't. I could not have the relationship that I have with him if I hadn't have been through the darkness. I know what light is. I mean, this has spring-loaded my capacity for joy. If you don't know what suffering is, you can't really know what joy is. I mean, if you don't know what darkness is, you really can't enjoy the light. It's changed everything. It's changed everything.
And you would not give that up?
No, not at all. I'm,
that's freaking wild, you know, to say that.
No, if you'd have said this to me in the middle of it, I'd have punched you in the mouth. I'd have been like, no, we're going to fight. because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, oh, no, I would have fought with you. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Everything that I've suffered has sweetened my relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today for this week's episode of Ron and Nick's Best Friend Podcast, where we talk about who?
The best friend who tells us how to live in freedom, truth, and love. For more information about him or the show, you can join us at www.ronandnicksbestfriend.com.
And don't forget to subscribe.
I think it's great. No, there's great stuff there.